Catholic commentary. You're returning in service. Spiritual warfare. AOM clear, C, military. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Our Lord says today the harvest is abundant, but the labors are few. That's in the Gospel of Luke. By the way, today's the feast of St. Luke, the Apostle. Luke, pray for us. We want you to hear a short clip. Well, that's going to take the whole segment from Venerable Fulton Sheen. He talks about the miracle of the sun at Fatima. Then we want to make some comments and some reflections on it. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
October 13th, 1917, Moscow. Maria Alexandrovich, young Russian noble lady, was teaching religion to a group of 200 children in the Church of the Iberian Virgin. And suddenly there was a distraction. Horsemen entered the front door, down the middle aisle, vaulted the communion rail, destroyed the icons, the statuary, the altar, and then attacked the children, killing many of them. Maria Alexandrovich ran out of the church screaming. She knew that there was an imminent revolution by the communists, and she went to Lenin, whom she knew, and she said, a most terrible thing has happened. I was teaching catechism to my children. Horsemen came in, charged them, and killed some of them. Lenin said, I know it. I sent them. Was one of the events that heralded at the beginning of the terrible communist revolution that has since harassed the world. Rome, October 13th, 1917. The same hour, midday. Church bells are ringing all through the city. It was a joyful event. A bishop was being consecrated. His name, Eugenio Pacelli. A man who then was not very well known, but who one day would come face to face with this great revolutionary force and would become the greatest spiritual force in the world against it. After his consecration on that 13th day of October 1917, he went to Munich. That particular time, the communists were very strong. They were under the leadership in Munich of Karl Liebknecht, and then one of those curious women that communism spawns, Rosa Luxemburg. And an order went out to kill 325 so-called enemies. And one of them was this same Archbishop Eugenio Pacelli. The commander of the Southern Communist Army, whose name was Seiler, and his aide-de-camp, Rongratz, brought in some soldiers with hand grenades. Seiler himself was armed. They got into the house by a kind of a ruse, and they hid behind a curtain, waiting for the footfall of this man of whom we're speaking. And as he walked down the corridor, Seiler was hiding behind a curtain. And he threw out his gun to shoot him, and the gun struck the pectoral cross on his breast, fell to the floor. Archbishop Pacelli reached over and picked it up, handed it back to Seiler. Said, here's your gun. Kill him if you wish. I am only interested in the souls of my people. Seiler and Rongratz went back, and they were unable to explain why they did not get their man. They could not explain why they were haunted by that lean figure. There was only one thing they did know. And that was that from that time on, that man would be afraid of absolutely nothing in all the world. And that man became Pius XII. And that pictorial cross that he was wearing that night, I am wearing now. Pius XII, he gave it to his esteemed friend, His Eminence Cardinal Spellman, who this evening kindly gave it to me when I told him I wished to speak of this incident. October 13th, 1917, there's a little village in Fatima where three little children, Maria, Jacinta, and Francis, were gathered expecting a revelation. They had said that Mary, the Mother of God, had appeared to them. It was not surprising, of course, if she had. It might very well have been. The Lord came through her. Through her, he worked his first miracle. And then from the cross, he commended us all to her with his kind words, "Behold thy mother." The children said that the lady had appeared to her before. Appeared to them before on the 13th of April, and May, and June, July, 19th of August, and the 13th of September. And in the course of the revelation, something very interesting was said, which goes to show there's something more important in this world than politics. It was said by the lady that this world war will end in a little over another year. Now remember the date, October 13th, 1917. We went to war that year on Good Friday, our country. The war did end in a little over another year, on the 11th of November, 1918. And then the lady told the children to tell the world that there would come a great era of peace to the world if the world would only return to God. And Russia would be converted. But, she said, if the world does not return to God, at the close of the next pontificate, that is to say, in the year 1936, there will be the beginnings of a Second World War in Spain. So evidently, heaven regarded that civil war as the beginning of World War II. And then she said, but to prevent it, I ask that men do penance and prayer and return again to God. If they do not do penance, there will come World War II, which will be more terrible than World War I. Nations will be destroyed, cities blotted out, the good will suffer persecution, Russia will spread its errors and persecution throughout the world, and the Holy Father himself will suffer much. And then she gave a word of hope, but in the end, God will triumph. The Second World War need not have come. It was unnecessary. Wars are not just made by politics. Wars are crises and judgments that come upon us because of the way we live. But there had to be some sign that this revelation was true. And 70,000 people gathered at Fatima this particular day with the children. Now, what is interesting is that most of them were unbelievers. Portugal in those days was anarchistic, communistic, atheistic, anti-clerical. They came out of curiosity. Some of them doubted, most of them doubted that anything would happen, but the children said that the lady told them that there would be a great miracle, which would be a proof that she had actually appeared. And the proof was what was called the miracle of the sun.
That's what we want to talk about, is the miracle of the sun in light of this incredible event that took place in the world, the commencement of communism and the way it's just spread throughout the world. Paul, we're going to take the entire second segment to talk about this, because Russia has spread her errors. I mean, the errors of Russia are communism. And that's exactly what we're dealing with all over the world right now. The Russian Communist Revolution took place in 1917, the year that Our Lady of Fatima appeared to these three children. And communism is an anti-God regime. And Our Lady predicted that there was going to be wars and persecutions of the church. Communism is also an atheistic regime. It persecutes the Catholic Church. And now, not so much Russia, but now you have again China. You know, you have other countries around the world, Venezuela. You have, so many other little Cuba, other little countries around the world that have accepted this form of government, this governmental system, and is persecuting the Catholic Church. Paul, hear them.
We'll hit it.
Yeah, we'll definitely hit it in the next segment. Got a lot to say about this. Jesus 911. We'll be talking about communism in light of Our Lady of Fatima's warning over 500 years ago. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. The messages of Our Lady of Fatima, where she warned us in 1917, just weeks before the Bolsheviks swept into power in Russia. And she warned us that Russia would spread her errors throughout the whole world. Well, what are the errors of Russia? What are the errors that Russia has spread throughout the world? It's communism. It's abortion. And it's atheism. There's an absolute connection between these murderous atheistic ideology of communism and the way it inflicts pain upon countries. And Fulton Sheen was just talking about it right now. Paul, go ahead.
You know, Jess, it strikes me that our Blessed Mother delivered this message, this grave message. And you remember in the Gospels, Gospel of Luke, when Mary presented Jesus to the temple, there was a man named Simeon. And Simeon, you know, prophesied, you know, and said marvelous things about the Lord. And he said that he would be responsible for the rising and the fall of many. But then he turned to Mary and he said that a sword would enter her own heart. Yeah. Now, we automatically, and rightly so, we apply that to, the fact that Jesus was going to be brutally treated and crucified and, but there's so much more to that. And when we understand that Jesus presented his mother to us as our spiritual mother on the cross, Mary has a special place to the mystical body of Christ, the church. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in Revelation, it refers to her other offspring, and that would be us, the church. And so Mary, she has a stake in the game, so to speak, in that we are her children, and she is trying desperately to steer us, like any parent would, to steer her children through these rough waters and bring us, to safety, like any mother, a protective mother, Jess.
That's right. And one of the things that we know, as things get darker, Paul, and as evil escalates, we know that the promise of the Blessed Virgin Mary, there's going to be some Marian intervention into the world.
Yes.
How that's going to play out, we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But the fact is, that's the promise from approved Marian apparitions. And I believe, Paul, that the prophecies of Fatima are still unfolding right now. The spread of communism, the spread of abortion. Yeah. By the way, a lot of people don't realize that abortion was started by in Bolshevik Russia when they were swept into power. And also, what else did Bolshevik Russia hand us? They gave us atheism, because atheism basically goes hand in hand with communism. And so when you hear all these kids around, you know, your the millennials or college kids telling you, I don't believe in God, I don't go to mass anymore. That's the infiltration of communism into this country. And the philosophical system of communism, for it to work, is atheism. You look to the state and government for everything. The government becomes your parents, and the government becomes your father.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's kind of like when we talk about Freemasonry. It doesn't mean that you happen to, that you have to be a card-carrying member. If you have been infected by their doctrine, you are essentially a Freemason, whether you know it or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Jess, another thing that struck me that Bishop Sheen said in that homily, I don't know if it was a homily, but in that teaching, that struck me was that wars are not started by politicians. You know, we automatically think like it's, the beginning of World War, I think it was World War One, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, or, it started the whole thing, or maybe it was World War II, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, no, wars are judgments from God, you see, because of the sinfulness of mankind. I mean, yes, there's definitely a synergistic relationship there, but the bottom line is God is in full control, and when man's sins are so egregious, God will allow war and as a chastisement.
That's right. That's absolutely right, Paul. And let me talk a little bit about Our Lady's final appearance on October 13th, 1917, which was exactly 33 years to the day after Pope Leo XIII's vision.
Okay.
When Pope Leo XIII saw, demons descending upon Rome on October 13th, 1884, during this remarkable vision where he saw the devil approaching God and asking God, give me 100 years to persecute the church, and I'll prove to you that that they don't love you. Well, let's fast forward. On Sunday, on October 13th, 1917, which just passed a couple of days ago, there was an estimated 70,000 people that were in attendance at the site. They were anticipating the Blessed Virgin Mary's final visit, and many were fully expecting that she would work a great miracle, as she told the kids. Well, as people were gazing upward, again, 70,000 people, and they saw that there was a silvery disc that emerged from behind the clouds, and they experienced what people call today the miracle of the sun. Now, not everybody reported the same thing. Some of the people that were present there, they claimed that the sun danced around the heavens. Others said that the sun zoomed towards the earth in a zigzag motion that caused them to fear that it might collide with our planet, or more likely that it would probably burn it up or something. And some people reported seeing brilliant colors spin out of the sun, kind of in a psychedelic pinwheel pattern. But this whole event took 10 minutes. There was Muslims there. There was atheists there. There was non-believers there. There was Lutherans there. With these apparitions at Fatima, what God was asking for was for the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by the Pope, in union with all the bishops of the world. Now, Our Lady of Fatima said that if the consecration was done, Russia would be converted and there would be peace. However, if the Pope and the bishops did not obey the request, Our Lady said that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church and of the Holy Father, and that the martyrdom of the good would happen, and there would be also annihilation of nations. My question to you is, I asked this question, I don't believe that the consecration was carried out as per Our Lady's request. Now, it's not me saying this. I'm leaning on some theological giants that are saying it wasn't carried as per Our Lady's request. Yeah, the whole world was consecrated to Our Lady, but that's not what she asked. She asked specifically, and by the way, Father Gabriel Amor, Vatican, the Rome's exorcist, said that he was there. He was right next to Pope. He was a few feet behind Pope John Paul II. He said the Fatima consecration to Russia was not done as per Our Lady's request due to political pressure from the modernists inside the Vatican. Also, Padre Pio said the third secret of Fatima was about a false church in the end times. Mm. Mother Angelica also publicly stated that she didn't believe that the entire third secret has been released. Mother Angelica, she said, as for the secret, well, I happen to be one of those persons with things we didn't get the whole thing. You got a German cardinal that was there. He said that John Paul II yielded to pressure from advisors, not to mention Russia, in the consecration by name. That was Cardinal Paul Joseph Gordas from Germany. He said that John Paul II held back to mention Russia explicitly because otherwise political conflicts might perhaps arise. Yep. You also got Cardinal Raymond Burke said that the full consecration wasn't done as per Our Lady's request. Bishop Athanasius Snyder, Archbishop.
You have a litany.
Yes, you got one Catholic historian after another as well, Paul.
Yeah. Let me just add one more name to that. Pope John Paul the 23rd, St. Pope John Paul the 23rd. Now, you know, as you know, one of the seers, Sister Lucia, she said in 1960, that's when the secret should be revealed. So he basically read the secret, put it back and said, this is not for our time, and did not obey what the Blessed Mother had said. So Jess, this stuff is crucial because we were warned from heaven, and man, like you said, because of politics, and I think the politics at the time, you know, there was some dialogue with Russia, and people get so busy with the trying to build the church and, you know, with their own ideas instead of letting what Jesus said, I will build my church. You know, sometimes our leaders within the church, they tend to, you know, think that it is their job to bring about certain things. And so what they do is they become wise in their own eyes. They come up with their own wisdom in order to try to bring about, you know, possibly even, you know, good causes, of course. You know, a lot of them, are well-intended, but just like Sacred Scripture says, and I say it all the time on here, there's a way that seems right to a man. You see, it seems right. And so they're going to follow their conscience on that because it seems right. But that way leads to death. And, you know, just because you happen to be a prelate in our church and of high rank does not mean that you cannot fall into error, does not mean that you cannot fall into a philosophical viewpoint or fall from grace in the sense that you are operating purely on human, in the flesh and not being led by the Holy Spirit.
Well, Paul, the evidence that Russia was not consecrated as per Our Lady's request specifically is that the errors of Russia have been spread throughout the whole world. Number one, abortion. Two, atheism.
Yes.
Three, communism.
Yes.
I think that's the proof in the pudding. And I think that the third secret of Fatima is still unfolding right now. We're seeing and once again, Padre Pio told Father Gabriel Amorth, and Father Gabriel Amorth said that Rome's exorcist for 29 years, who just passed away, he said that Padre Pio, who was a spiritual director, said that the third secret of Fatima was about a false church in the end times. Find that very interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jess. Go ahead, Jess.
I'm just saying, if when you don't listen to Our Lady's request, you know, from heaven, there's consequences. And I'll talk a little bit about the King of France. He was warned, back in the King of France about a communication that Sister Lucia had. We'll talk about that, and we'll see how what happened to the King of France when he didn't listen to Heaven's request as well. Jesus 911 will be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, just a bit of new, local news, and we'll just say a little prayer for them. Right now you have a lot of Catholics in Orange County. They're in front of the Orange County Diocese, and they're having a prayer rally in front of the Orange County Diocese right now on Chapman Avenue in Garden Grove because of the mask, because of the mandates that the diocese is imposing on the employees of the diocese. It seems like if the diocese is doing the work of the Biden administration, yeah, Pat Coffman, they're giving a rousing the people and stuff to do a peaceful prayerful gathering and to stand up against these vaccine mandates. You also have Dr. Aaron Carity. He's another good Catholic psychologist. Both of them are there kind of rallying the troops. So let's just say a Hail Mary for them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when you don't listen to heaven, bad things happen. Back in June 17th, 1689, the Sacred Heart of Jesus was manifested to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a nun. And he asked her to command to the King of France that the king was to consecrate France to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, guess what? For 100 years to the day, the King of France did not obey. The kings of France did not obey. In fact, they just delayed it. They delayed it. They didn't obey. And so what happened on June 17, 1789? The king, 100 years after, that King of France, who had not obeyed the command of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque to consecrate France through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he was stripped of his legislative authority by the upstart Third Estate. And 4 years later, the soldiers of the French Revolution, they executed him, this King of France, as if he were a criminal. And in 1793, France sent its king also, Louis the 16th, to the guillotine. Why? Because he and his predecessors had failed to obey our Lord's request that France be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And thus misfortune fell upon the France as a result of the French Revolution.
Yep. You know, Jess, once again, it shows you that God expects obedience, and there's consequences when we disobey, and those consequences are severe in many cases. God is, you know, we paint this picture about the grace of God, and thank God, yes, we live in His grace, but we leave out the part that God is also a just judge, and that God does have the capacity to be angry. And to whom much is given, much is required, Sacred Scripture says. So, Jess, I wanted to just say that there's five basic things that have to happen before the second coming of Christ. The first thing that has to happen is the gospel has to be preached to all nations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an example, this internet and just the communication that we have in this time has been unparalleled in the world. We're there or close to being there right now.
I think you can check that box off.
Yeah. The second thing is there's going to be a great apostasy of the Gentiles. What about that box, Jess?
You can check that box off.
It's happening.
There are fewer Catholics attending Mass right now in the United States of America than any time in history right now.
Yes. Yes. And they don't believe even in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. You know, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? The third thing, universal conversion of the Jews. Now, that has not happened yet. But a lot of people just they think like, oh, that's a long way from happening. But you know what? The Jews right now are almost a friendless nation. We have quickly abandoned them as a country, as you know, and more as the left-wing Democrats get in power, they have no love for the Jewish people. They're not going to have any place to look but up. And I believe through divine intervention, God will cause a miracle and he will give them eyes to see. He will take that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Just like in Jeremiah, you know, will these bones live, these dry bones? Yep, they're going to live. And God is going to bring about a miraculous conversion and graft them back into connection with the vine. And that's Christ himself. And the fifth and final thing, there's going to be a great shaking of the faith, Jess. And I just want to read paragraph 675 in the catechism, right? Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity. In the form of a religious deception offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of the apostasy from truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo messianism, basically pseudo messiah, okay, by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and his Messiah come in the flesh. Wow, Jess.
That's socialism and communism.
Yes.
That
man is
man is glorified in those systems, the ones on the top.
Yes. Yes. That's the philosophical view. But if you really think about it, everything is about man now. And everything that you see is just, you know, it's so man-centered. I hate to say it like this, but even the subtle changes that we saw in the mass, you know, it took the focus off of God, you know, from the mass of the ages, the traditional Catholic mass, right, and it put the focus on man. And see, man has an issue here. He can be faithful or he cannot be faithful. You know what I mean? And men, and many times, you know, we're dealing with fleshly desires, we're dealing with ego, we're dealing with so many things. And so there's a lot going on, Jess.
Yeah, there sure is. Paul, and we were warned, by the way, by that communism will infiltrate the church, not only by Our Lady of Fatima, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. that was the warning par excellence. But there's also a communist who converted to the Catholic faith back in the 50s. Her name was Bella Dodd. Mm-hmm. She wrote a book, it's called The School of Darkness. And she actually testified, I think, in front of the Senate or the Congress as an expert. And she testified as to the infiltration of communism into the United States of America. She said that she was actually sent by Joseph Stalin to infiltrate the Catholic seminaries. You also have kind of another Catholic in politics that right at the time, at the time of Bella Dodd, he was also warning the Congress that communism was penetrating the U.S. government. It was this was back in the 1950s. He was a Catholic U.S. senator from Wisconsin. His name was Joe McCarthy. You got liberals today. They say when you're lying or exaggerating, they call it McCarthyism. Yeah. But this guy was very deeply suspicious that communist spies were penetrating the U.S. government. And so the liberals were saying, they were calling it the Red Scare. Okay. They're calling it the Red Scare. Well, guess what, Paul? As we look back in hindsight, this guy was absolutely spot on. Okay,
he
accused the Democrats of treason, and he had a list of over 200 names of people serving in the government who were communist plants, and they just try to dismiss him as a kook, as a right wing nut job. Right now, Paul, we're seeing the Democrats aren't even hiding it; they have a wing of the Democrat Party called the DSA, the Democrat Socialist of America. Well, guess what? They're not even hiding it no more. What is socialism? Socialism only varies in degrees from communism, but it's the stepping stone to communism.
No doubt about it. no doubt about it. And if you read, you know, I tell people all the time, just Google the naked communist.
Oh, yeah.
And you can find a list of like 45 different goals of the Communist Party in 1963. And I want you to compare that to the Democratic platform, and your jaw will drop, because essentially the goals of the Communist Party in 1963 have been fulfilled in our Democratic Party today. Don't take my word for it. Read it yourself. It's called The Naked Communist.
Yeah, that if people want to check us out, yeah, that's one book you should read. It's thin, too. It's not a thick book. Or also the school, the book by Balada, The School of Darkness, you know, where she shows the infiltration of communism into America, but through the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see that there's another recent book that just came out from Dr. Paul Kangor. He's a convert from Evangelical Protestantism to Catholicism. The book just came out through 10 books. It's called The Devil and Karl Marx. The Devil and Karl Marx. And again, he shows there that the behavior of communism is completely diabolical. They'll use lies, deception, torture, murder. They'll kill people in these communist regimes. He talks about the psychology and behavior of communism. Father Chad Ripperger, exorcist for Denver, Colorado, he says communist Marxist behavior and demonic behavior is very similar. Both of them are communists and demons are bullies. They're tyrants. They like to harass, steal, and kill as well. Both of them have hate and greed as their motivation. So Father Ripperger compares
no surprise
and demons. Yeah.
Yeah, just no surprise, since Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels dedicated the Communist Manifesto to Satan. So, you know, there's no surprise there. You know, it all comes together. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put the pieces together.
Yep, and I'll tell you, Paul, this is our world right now. This is where we're living in right now. And as Catholics, even Pope Paul VI back in 1972, he saw, again, this infiltration into the church, and he says, quote, "It is as if from some mysterious crack," no, it's not mysterious, "from some crack the smoke of Satan has entered the temple of God." The temple of God,
well,
that's the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's the mystery when he says, like, you know, like he's dumbfounded by it. He doesn't know how this could have happened. And that just tells me he was asleep at the wheel at that point.
Yep, it happened through the modernism of the heresy of modernism. And it happened right under his nose, unfortunately. All right.
Jess, we talked about 3 days. I mean, the miracle of the sun. Let's talk about 3 days of darkness.
Sounds good. Back. Up next, 3 days of darkness.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Hill Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. I want to talk a little bit about what some mystics have talked about in times past in the Catholic Church about the 3 days of darkness. First of all, the 3 days of darkness is something that we can see in Scripture. What do I mean by that? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he spent 3 days in the belly of the earth. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself spent 3 days of darkness. So there's a theological principle here at play. Also, remember the 3 days of darkness, it parallels the 10 plagues against Egypt in the book of Exodus. God brought 3 days of darkness to the wicked Egyptian Pharaoh and the people of Egypt for their persecution of God's people in the Old Testament. Then we also see that St. Paul, that he spent 3 days of darkness. He was blind for 3 days after he encountered Christ.
Yes.
And before he was able to see. And again, I just mentioned also that Christ spent 3 days of darkness in a tomb. So there's a lot of this 3 days of darkness that's very biblical. It has been mentioned. Now I get it. Some people say that Saint Padre Pio said that And to be fair, I believe that he said that, but nobody's really found, people have looked at, they've tried to find the footnote to St. Padre Pio. They can't find the footnote. Doesn't mean that he doesn't said it, just means that the footnote was lost. But we do know that Blessed Anne Maria Taiga, a 19th century Italian mystic, she said it, and I have her words right in front of me, and also Venerable Elizabeth Mora, a 19th century mystic from Italy, she also warned us about the 3 days of darkness. And once again, Paul, as I said, it's there's a theological principle at play because it rhymes with Scripture.
Amen. It, like you said, and like our friend Dr. Scott Hahn says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And that's exactly what you see, Jess. You mentioned the plagues in Egypt and the darkness where God smote the land with darkness. It was a darkness that just put fear in the, you know, and just the fear of hell in you is what that darkness did. And you know, the thing is you have to remember, in typology, Moses was a type of Christ. Yeah. He was the deliverer, and right before the deliverer delivered the people, the people were struck with this 3 days. The Egyptian people were struck with this 3 days of darkness. And by the way, there was a lot of instruction given at the time during the plagues where Israel, if they didn't obey God, for as an example, when God took the firstborn, they had to be in their houses, they couldn't go outside, and they had to be eating the Passover meal. If they weren't and their doors had to be marked with blood, right? The blood of the lamb. And if they didn't do that, then they would have suffered right along with the Egyptians. And so, like you said, Jess, you pointed it out, there are many people in the Catholic Church, and it is said that Padre Pio was one of them, but that have understood that just as heaven gave us the miracle of the sun as a warning, heaven is going to give us another warning in these dark days as we approach the second coming of Christ, because that's exactly what we're going to be in. We're going to be in dark days. And so the sign that heaven is going to give us is going to be 3 days of darkness. And by the way, it is said that if you have a wax candle that is blessed, and you will be able, and by the way, also living in a state of grace, because that's one of the qualifiers. If you're not living in a state of grace, there's going to be no magic candle for you. But you know, there's going to be no magic candle, Jess. So, but if you have these blessed wax candles and you're living in a state of grace, then you will have light during that time.
That's the only light that's going to work. All the electricity, everything's going to be gone. And Paul, it's interesting that you talk to people that are like, you know, engineers and stuff. They'll say, oh yeah, we have the ability right now to turn off all the lights in the world by, you know, destroying, I guess they call them
EMPs.
Yeah, they have the ability right now to turn off everything from us right now. We have that technology. Yeah. So if somebody thinks that we can't have total darkness and then God just allowed natural darkness, the sun not to come up, God can eclipse the sun easily. He's God.
Well, not only that, in him we both move and breathe and have our being. And by the way, nothing works unless God says it works. So any scientific, electronic principles that might be at play with electricity, God with the snap of his finger can make it not work. And I don't believe it's going to be any man-made EMP that brings us into darkness, Jess. I believe it's going to be a complete miracle as it was in the days of Egypt, so that once again, man will be given a sign that he cannot ignore. And if he chooses to ignore it, I don't know what to say. Like Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He saw all of those things and he hardened his heart. And I think that a lot of people in our day and age are going to have hard hearts because they have rejected the living God.
Yeah, and St. Paul talks about it. He says, wicked people suppress the truth. I know it's difficult to hear that there are wicked people in the world, but there are. There are some people that are just stone cold wicked. And what does the Bible say they do? They suppress the truth. Paul, yes. I'll tell you, somebody who understands this Fatima prophecy very deeply, takes it very seriously, is Archbishop Vigano. He absolutely gets it. He absolutely gets it. And he says that as Catholics, that we've got to pray the rosary daily to defend our faith, our culture, and end this. He calls it the psychopandemic. Psychopandemic, because again, Paul, there's a mass psychosis going on throughout the world.
Yep. You know, Jess, I recently, was interested in some things, and I read, I'm reading a book by Malachi Martin called Windswept House.
Yes, that man was a deep thinker. Incredible theologian.
But the one thing that, you know, he brings out, you know, in the book, and you can see that, you know, obviously, even within the church, you have people that are, strong, saints that are, orthodox and sticking to, exactly what a Catholic should do. And then you have the modernists that are in there that are constantly assailing the Orthodox people and that's exactly how it is. And that's exactly what we're going through today. So no matter what you might think of Malachi Martin, he was spot on in his assessment and what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody that says talks about that book says it's a prophetic book. I've listened to it on tape years ago. It's probably worth listening to it again, but I'll tell you, Paul. Sometimes people try to conflate Christianity and communism. They'll say, "Well, communism and Christianity, it's about giving to people. It's about giving to the poor. It's about giving to others, sharing with others." No, Christianity is not communism. I'll tell you the difference. Communism, you're being forced to give something. Okay, the redistribution of wealth. Christianity is totally voluntary. Okay. So no one says in Christianity, I've got to give because the government's telling me. People in Christianity say, I'm going to give because I love Jesus and my heart tells me to give.
Amen. The New Testament says give with a joyful heart. People who are forced to give, Jess, there's nothing joyful there.
That's right. That's why it says in Acts 4:32, it says, and none of them considered any of their possessions to be their own. Back in the book of Acts, you see that people, they weren't motivated by the government, by government mandates, by government decrees or fiats. They were motivated by their love for Christ, and they saw everybody as brothers. Last point I'll make is this. We've been warned about the infiltration of communism by Our Lady of Fatima herself. Heaven warned us. We've also been warned by Bela Dodd. Fulton Sheen was under another prophetic voice on the infiltration of communism. We've also been warned by even a secular Catholic politician, Joe McCarthy, back in the 1950s. Paul, it's the fact is, a lot of Catholics don't understand the lay of the land. This is the system that will be used by the Antichrist. I'm looking at one of my old books written about 100 years ago on the Antichrist, and this priest that wrote it, he says the political system that will be used by the Antichrist will be communism. Our Lady of Fatima was absolutely right.
Yeah, listen, slavery in Egypt, right? The children of Israel were slaves, right? So essentially that type of Antichrist, Pharaoh, had enslaved the people of God. And so likewise, as this thing gets recapitulated and bigger to the future, the Antichrist is going to enslave the people of God. If Christ said, I came to set... he came for freedom. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then the Antichrist is just the opposite. And he is going to use communism, which we all know. Just look at any communist country and tell me you want to go vacation there on your next vacation. It's all about slavery. People were killed trying to get across that Berlin Wall back in the day. You can't get out of North Korea, China. They're going to send you away and they'll never see you again in the middle of the night. and on and on and on. It's all about slavery. And by the way, any religion that talks about, that slavery, that'll give you a hint of its origin. You know what I mean? Because Christ, we are sons. God has made us sons and daughters. God, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God, and such we are. Don't ever believe any religion that tells you you're anything other than a child of God.
Amen. I'll give Archbishop Vigano the last word. He gets it. He says we must pray the rosary daily to defend our faith, culture, and end this cycle pandemic. Catholics, Amen. Live in a state of grace. Catholics, pray a rosary every day. Catholics, read the daily mass readings. Get the word of God into your soul. Catholics, fast and do penance. Catholics,
Amen.
Go to confession at least once a month and make sure that you're strong in the Lord. That's a wrap. Two Catholics, retired cops that love the Lord Jesus Christ, love Our Lady. We're EOW, End of Watch. Up next, Gary Machuda.